Okay, I got five words for you. Hot sauce and lemon juice.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I'm interested. I'm listening.
Yeah, tell me more about this magical elixir that helps clear your head.
Oh, so sometimes if you're feeling phlegmy, it's an old voice actor trick. Not for old voice actors, but just for, it's a trick that's old. And if you're feeling a little phlegmy, you put hot sauce and lemon juice, or you drink is a strong one. You sip, and it just blasts your mouth out of phlegm, and you know, it's kind of a delightful thing.
I may put this on pause so I can go and mix myself up some of that magical stuff.
I mean, really, it's something they should hand out at every radio station because there's a lot of lip smackers going on out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just dries it up. It's like an astringent inside your mouth.
And it makes you feel warm inside?
No, it doesn't make me feel, you know, like emotionally fulfilled in any way, if that's what you mean. But just my mouth is just, it just all puckers up.
It doesn't tingle?
It becomes basically like one big butthole, but that can talk. Yeah.
It doesn't tingle your innards?
No, it might, though. I'm figuring a couple hours I might have some, I might actually be dealing with my butthole. But anyway, that's a different show. That's Health Matters with Jed and John. That's coming up next.
So we've got a lot to talk about this week, so we should probably just jump right into it.
I mean, yeah. Does anyone know what this show is besides Health Matters?
I was just about to do that after I said that, so you didn't even give me a chance.
No, I didn't give you a chance on purpose, John, because I'm snarky today. Why?
Oh.
Because I've just consumed hot sauce and lemon juice. That's the new name of this podcast.
So this is Foul Territory, episode 80. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
Yeah, no dedication to this week because no player has ever worn number 80 on the field of play in Major League Baseball.
Do you remember that song, I'm Living in the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
I think it wasn't Sisters of Mercy, was it? No. I don't remember what it was, but I remember in 1989, New Year's Eve, hearing that song for the last time and having it be a truth.
Mm, wow.
And then it turned 1990. I got pulled over that night, John.
What happened?
I got pulled over by the cops. They thought I was driving erratically.
Mm-hmm. And?
They didn't know I was actually driving erotically.
Oh.
No, I was just trying to change the radio station or something, and the car swerved a little bit right when the cop saw me, so he thought I was some punk teenager out drinking, which yeah. I wasn't, John, because in my teenage years, I did not consume any alcohol whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't until my senior year. For 2 weeks before graduation was the first time I went to a party. I was dedicated to baseball, didn't want to do anything to harm my future, and I was a teetotaler.
Yeah, see, the real jocks didn't drink. Because the real jocks were like, I'm playing sports. I can't put this filth in my body.
Although I did have one guy who was a four-letter athlete. He was hard drinking, smoking pot all the time. And sorry to say, he's not with us anymore.
Well, see, John, right. Lesson learned.
Lesson learned, yes. So we have some baseball to talk about. Get into the headlines.
Let's do it.
Unbelievable baseball. We're coming down to the wire, only a few days left. And other than the American League, we don't know how it's going to play out. The Braves are the only sure thing as far as where the, actually the Braves could wind up with the top seed, which is just crazy based on how things play out over the next few days. It's been absolute bliss to watch as a fan.
Yeah, there's a certain mediocrity to it all, but it's exciting mediocrity, right? Like it's, like the American League has been so much more, what's the word, on the other ends of the spectrum, right? You have like two 100 loss teams already in the American League. The Red Sox have 106 wins or whatever. The Yankees have 90 whatever.
Yeah, so that you 95, could wind up 96 with four wins. Teams. If the Yankees win out, the A's win out, you'll have four teams with 100 wins and two teams with 100 losses in the same league.
Right.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that's going to happen, but I think, you know, you got two 100 loss teams. And
but the real cool stuff is what's going on in the National League. I mean, we have a chance, John, for a four-way tie.
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing.
I kind of hope it happens, to be honest with you. because it's.
I do and I don't.
Well, it will mess up whoever those teams are because they. It would be the Braves are going to be like, yes, please do that.
Right.
Make that happen.
Yeah.
Because they'll be the benefactors definitely of ruining the ruined pitching rotations for those playoffs. It'll be, what, 3 games to play off for that one spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be – that would be top.
I mean, it's a wonderful thing about baseball, though, that it would be, what, we have 5 games left, 4 mm-hmm. or 5 games left, and it's 158 games into the season, mm-hmm. and it's really just like a 5-game playoff
yeah.
right now.
Yeah,
like,
it is. It's,
who does what against whom is all that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, throw away everything that's happened up to this point. It's going to be
– yeah.
You know, the next 5 games are going to determine everything. And the team that's kind of sitting pretty in all of this is the Rockies, because they're at home. They play the Nationals. Yeah. The Nationals have kind of given up. I think they gave up in April.
They still have a great team, but they are kind of coasting.
Yeah. They're looking forward to playing some golf.
I mean, yeah, Tanner Rourke just like, you know, yeah, I'm gonna go home and stay with my kid. Literally, he had a newborn baby. They put him on paternity leave for whatever, the 3 days, and then they're like, eh, just stay home. It's fine.
Well, where the Rockies benefit as well is that Scherzer is done for the year. He would have pitched on Sunday, but he's
right.
done. So they won't face him. They didn't face
right.
Nola against the Phillies. So two of the right. top pitchers in baseball they didn't have to face in the final week. So, yeah.
And also, like, this Phillies team, what's going on? Like,
they've imploded.
Is this a 7-game losing streak or yeah. 6? Like, come on, guys.
And the last 2 games, they've been blown out 10-1 and 10-3.
Yeah.
So they're limping, definitely limping.
Yeah.
And they're playing probably the way that they should have all season. They're a 500 team that will be much better next year and for years to come. But I'm not surprised that they're at 500.
Yeah.
For me, as a fan of the underdog, and it's not a matter of who the favorites are, I would love to see, and as much as this is going to pain you to hear it, I would love to see both the Cubs and the Dodgers get knocked out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
See, I don't really care about, I mean, I prefer the Dodgers and the Red Sox and whatever, but I care about for the sport of baseball. If you start knocking out all the big teams, then just no one's going to watch. But, that's all. No one's going to watch.
But for me, it's more about the teams that are playing well at the moment. And right now, the teams that are playing well are the Brewers and the Rockies.
Yeah, but have the Rockies ever played really well at the end of the season and then made it to the playoffs and then disappointed everyone and laid a giant stink burger in the World Series? Have they ever done that?
Well, so have the Dodgers. So, I mean, every team has been in that
position.
The Dodgers
have never made it to the World Series and put up a stink burger.
Well, they've disappointed not getting to the World Series when there was expectations or getting
last
to the
year's World Series, John, was one of the best World Series ever.
Didn't see it. I was in Ecuador, so.
Oh, my bad.
Missed it. So I know not of what you speak.
It's a 7-game World Series. That's all you need to know.
I know. I know it was good. But I'm just saying there's been times where the Dodgers were expected to win and
yes.
didn't get very far. So there's been the disappointment factor there. So I think new teams add a different flavor because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers problem that I've seen throughout the year is they seem to win games by more runs than they need to. And then when they just need a run or two, they just can't muster it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, you know, there's no like, oh, you need to change this or that. It's just one of those things that it's like when a team wins a bunch of one-run games. Like, it's just an oddity,
mm-hmm.
you know. Well, it's a statistical anomaly.
One of the things in watching Major League Baseball TV and having the subscription is that you can listen to all the homer stations. And you can hear the venom in their voice about knocking teams out. So you hear the Brewers broadcasters and you hear the Pirates broadcasters are like, we would like nothing more than to sweep the Cubs and knock them out of the playoffs.
Right.
And every homer announcers are saying the same thing. We have nothing left to play for but to knock somebody else out.
Right.
So there is the Giants-Dodgers is going to be a big series, even though the Giants have, you know, dialed it in the last month. But it's going to be a big one. We'll see how that one plays out. Should be fun. I mean, this is what – I mean, I hope we come down to one of those like we did back in 2011 where there was the last day of the season determined everything. That would be so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd love it because it's Kershaw and Buehler this weekend, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's Ryu, Kershaw, and Buehler against the Giants.
Yeah, that's a pretty good lineup.
That should be like, what, three runs total scored by the Giants in that matchup. But you never know with the Giants. You never know. I mean, that's a terrible team right now.
Is it in San Francisco or in L.A.?
Yeah, it's in San Francisco.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let's move on here. So the Red Sox have been, you know, hitting some milestones for team history.
Yeah, lost in all this is like,
how great they are.
This is an amazing team. This is a great team that's coasting to the end and still is going to wind up with 109, 110 wins. Sheesh.
Yeah, so here's one of the things, though. You have Chris Sale, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, too, is that Sale basically is saying, I'm going to get myself ready for what matters. And he's basically sacrificed any chance, really, of winning the Cy Young, although he'll finish in the top two or three.
Yeah, and thousands of fantasy baseball teams
are cringing,
by the way,
right?
Are just like, wait a minute, what do you mean he pitched three innings?
But that's smart. They're really showing smart. What they're doing is preparing for what matters most.
Keep the arm loose for the playoffs. The playoffs are all that matters.
Right.
Doesn't matter whether you win 110 or 112 games.
Right. So there are odds makers that I remember at the All-Star break. There was this whole, you know, what win total are the Red Sox going to hit? Are they going to beat the 116? And odds makers had them at 111 was the over and under, and it looks like they'll be under. But, you know, a month ago they looked like they were going to win 115 games, and there's no reason to devalue any of your stars going into the playoffs. You want your everyday players to keep their rhythms, but the pitchers, you can slow them down, amp them up, as long as they're getting their bullpen work, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah. So rest those players.
Yeah. They should be set. Although I think the team that they have they'll have the biggest challenge with will be Oakland. I think they beat Houston. I think they beat the Yankees easily, but I think Oakland will be. The Indians might be a little bit of a challenge for them too, although the Indians bullpen isn't as good as it has been in the past.
Yeah,
but I think that makes for an interesting second round game if the A's get past the Yankees.
That's another team that's hard to gauge how good they are or aren't is the Indians, because they're coming from the AL Central,
mm-hmm. beating up on all the teams they should beat, and they're mediocre.
And those
record.
Are terrible teams. There's no other team even close to 500. And but like, is that I don't know, is that a good measure of how good they? It's hard to tell. Are they coasting? Are they taking it easy because they know they have it easy? Like, they lost last night. They had a two-run lead going into the ninth, I think it was.
And they were playing
the
White
Sox? And then
just,
like, Francona just, like, didn't bother to bring in a closer. What?
Yeah, it's what do they have to play for right now? I mean, Lindor and Ramirez have had amazing years. Kluber, another great year.
But I will say, you know, Lindor's been batting 200 for the last month or so.
Still
of course,
good.
I know this exactly because he's on my big money fantasy baseball team, so it's driving me a little nuts. But yeah, Ramirez has been slumping a little bit too. But again, maybe it's just the I don't want to say like a June swoon type thing, but just the end of the year and just trying some new stuff. I don't know, but I figure they're going to ramp it all up and you know, but then, you know, it's the playoffs. Like, the Giants have won the World Series by getting in the playoffs. Like,
right.
That's how.
Yeah,
remember that Cardinals team that won?
Yeah. I remember that World Series. I don't think I even watched it. Was that the one that when they beat Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the one game that I missed. Yeah.
You said someone was out puking in the alley or there was some sort
of
police
there was a
thing?
Woman,
or?
There was a woman in my building who I discovered was the one who was leaving open bags of dog poop.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And you had a confrontation with her?
Open trash can. And I had a confrontation.
And you missed the game.
By the way, I missed the game, but she never, never put an open bag of dog poop in the trash again.
Well, it might have been worth the sacrifice.
It was, John.
Because the baseball part is fleeting. Poop in the trash.
Well, I watch highlights. There's no highlights to, you know, the poop being there. I don't know. I don't know. Is that a joke? Can I rewrite that?
Yeah.
What's with these bags of poop, John?
So the Marlins Pirates game that was, I think it was last weekend, it was canceled because of rain.
Yeah, we got rained out. Yeah.
And they decided, those two teams don't need to make it up.
I think we all knew that was going to happen at the time, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, they only make up the game between the two terrible teams if one of them, if it matters in the standings.
The only other thing that would have hurt that is if you had players who were had a performance incentives and they were like right on the brink and they were like, I needed that extra at bat, that extra inning or something like that. So that would be the only time that it would they would feel it. But fans, they really don't care. Players, maybe so. But I don't imagine that either of those two teams have a lot of marquee players that are looking to hit performance incentives, especially the Marlins. And speaking of the Marlins,
it would have been kind of an amazing thing, though, John, if we had like all the four-way tie and all those tiebreaker games and the Marlins Pirates playing each other. Like a three-game schedule on day 163?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Anyway.
Now, speaking of the Marlins, I still think they're a bad team.
Yeah.
No argument there. But I am very surprised that they won as many games as they did this year. I was thinking mid-50s at best, and they're not going to lose 100 games, which I think is one thing to be happy about if you're a Marlins fan. And that's about it. Because they're going to trade JT Realmuto in the offseason. Dan Straley will probably be gone too, so they're still stripping down before they get better, and they have a lot more rebuilding to do in their farm system before they're going to be. They're a good 3, 4, 5 years away, but that's all part of the Derek Jeter plan. So,
that's
Marlins
right.
fans, hang tight.
So it's basically like a nice gift basket,
right,
for the fans.
Right. Thank you very
much. From Derek Jeter to the fans.
So Roberto Osuna is making headlines again for all the, I guess, right reasons, maybe? Can you say
Well, here, it's one of those weird things, right? So he had those assault charges in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Police came, and it sounded like he was drunk, and there was some physical altercation with his girlfriend. And so this has been like, he got suspended for 75 games, and then he got traded because the Blue Jays didn't want to have him around. So they traded him for Ken Giles, who didn't want to be with the Astros. So it kind of worked out great. But then the Astros were like, yeah, we'll take on this person with these issues, you know, because of talent and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so they dropped the charges, right? And they put him on, it's Canada, so it's a little different than the United States. They dropped the charges, but there's still like a, he's still got like a restraining order kind
it's
of thing.
It's a peace bond.
A peace bond, yes.
Which I've never heard of before, and I was going to say it must be a Canada thing, because what is a peace bond? He just has to stay away for a year unless he gets written permission.
Right.
So,
right.
And he has
but
to stay out of
trouble.
But here's
the thing. The reason they dropped the charges is because she was in Mexico and refusing to come back to Toronto to press, like, to be a witness. So there's no witness, right? It's
Sounds
one of
like
those
a green
things.
Card issue. Or
I mean,
is that the equivalent in Canada?
I mean, this sometimes happens with, you know, other athletes of all races and even genders.
Sure.
Nationalities where there's a domestic incident and then the girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife just refuses to testify. And so then the state doesn't have a witness.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they're innocent or...
Exactly. But it means that they can't do a case.
They can't follow through on everything. So
So
he comes.
And so my guess, Osuna is not nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States. My guess.
No, 30 years from now, he doesn't have a shot.
His girlfriend may remember exactly what happened and then want to testify.
Right. Yeah. So Osuna comes
back. And she should be listened to, John. It's important.
It is important. Everybody should be heard.
To be very clear, yes.
She should
be
listened.
I don't want anyone to think that I'm like taking anyone's side on that thing.
She should be listened to by a committee of 11 men.
I think there's one woman on there, isn't there?
Isn't
Feinstein a woman?
I don't know I don't know. Is she? I don't know. So as soon as it does come in, gets his pitches for the first time, and is cascaded with a shower of booze.
Yes. Not well received by the Canadians. Yeah, this is the thing about Canadians, and I've argued this for as long as I've been married to a Canadian. They're kind of the worst people. And I think my wife was smart to get out of that country, because there's a lot of mean people. And just because you say sorry doesn't mean you're a nice person. It just means you're saying sorry.
Eh?
Exactly. And I don't know whether it's the maple syrup or if it's the all the moose. I don't know what's driving these people to be so mean, but there's some mean people there.
We should build a wall. Keep those guys out. So Osuna, his first, was it when he returned to Toronto? Was that when he pitched?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I would imagine that they were not very happy with him there. But then you have on the flip side, you have Ken Giles saying that the Astros had a horrible culture and he was glad to get out of there.
Right. And A.J. Hinch says that Giles is wrong about that.
And I'm not surprised by that.
But, like, here's the thing. I think that the Astros love winning. And Giles is even saying, like, I won a World Series, but he said he felt trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at how A.J. Hinch handles the bullpen, or how A.J. Hinch and the management decided how to handle the bullpen, I could absolutely see a pitcher being like, what the hell is going on here?
Right. Like a new closer.
Lance McCullers Jr. is a four-inning reliever. Now I'm a closer. Now I'm in the minors. Now I'm a setup man. Now I'm a closer.
Yeah, no confidence.
Get me out of here.
And it sounds like, you know, also from the eye test with Giles, he's a little bit of a fragile emotionally,
right,
too. So somebody like that is not going to do well in a topsy-turvy system where it's like,
right,
performance is all that matters. So he needs, right, somebody who's going to support him in the long run, and he seems happier in Toronto, which is fine by him. It's his interpretation.
Yeah, he's 12 for 12 in save opportunities. His whip, his walks walks and hits for innings pitch is way down. His strikeouts are up. Like, he's actually comfortable. And there is something to be said for a player feeling,
right,
comfortable.
Yeah, the change of scenery thing is real.
Yeah.
So it's worked out
and
for
like,
him.
So A.J. Hinch is kind of a jerk. But it's like kind of a jerk move for him to be like, no, he's wrong.
Right.
Like,
no, he
that
felt
just,
what
to
he
me,
felt.
That just proves the point. Like, he felt what he felt. Like, it doesn't,
I'm with you on that, 100%.
Like, A.J. Hinch is like, well, no one else feels that way. Like, well, technically, you mean no one else has said that publicly.
They will when they leave.
Because maybe half the team is like, this guy is a total jerk, but I don't want to say anything because I might lose playing time like Ken Giles did.
Right. And I think the Houston, you know, franchise is, you know, still in the throes of winning, and they're going to, you know, deal with it.
I thought you were going to say cheating because of the
spin rate,
the ball stuff, but the spin rate stuff. But no, you know, winning too. Yes.
Winning, cheating, it all comes hand in hand.
But the true test will be years from now when other players have left the organization.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
In A.J. Hinch's tell-all book down the road.
Yeah.
Hinch me.
The Hinchmen.
Hinch me. Was it real?
Hinch me? Am I dreaming?
Yes. Okay, let's move on. Okay. What do we got here? Giants remove Bobby Evans as general manager. And Evans has been with the team 20-plus years. He's a long-termer.
Yeah. Yeah, they say he's going to stay with the team in some capacity. They always say that, right? But, like, here, is this his fault, this terrible team?
No.
Like, I feel like Sabian is still in charge. When the GM becomes the president, I feel like they're still the one that's actually in charge.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, how many times have you heard Bobby Evans' name mentioned when you're talking about Giants upper management? You hear Sabian and nothing but Sabian.
Right.
Evans is not really part of the conversation. So
right.
I would
it's like
give,
the Cubs with, what's his name, Theo Epstein.
Right.
He's the president of baseball. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But really, he's the one running the show. Like, when it comes to player acquisition, the other guy is basically like an assistant GM that doesn't have to call himself the assistant, but he is.
Hoyer, right? It's the assistant, or the GM or whatever.
Jed. Title. That's Jed. Right. Another Jed.
Another Jed. So, you know, yeah, the moves that were made earlier this year to acquire the geriatric brigade.
Who could have thought those would gone bad?
Yeah.
John?
I think we called that one.
Yes.
Very early on. I think when both, what's his name from the Rays and McCutcheon were signed.
Longoria. And McCutcheon. Yeah.
It was like, what are they doing? It just didn't.
Though, to be fair, for to Dan Evans or to un-Dan Evans, to be unfair
Bobby Evans?
Or to
Bobby
be
Evans?
Bobby Evans, second highest payroll.
Yeah. That's.
Someone's got to go, right?
Right. And Sabian's
someone's
not going
gotta
anywhere.
Go.
But so he's.
Sabian
he's
ain't going
guy.
Anywhere. He's got three rings. He ain't going anywhere. But Bobby Evans or Darren Evans or Steve Evans.
Joe Bob Evans.
Joe Bob. Jim Joe. Jimmy
Could
Jack.
Could be anybody.
Evans.
Right? We just don't know. And a smart move by Barry Larkin, not wanting to. I don't know if it's he chose not to interview or the Reds management said, you're not yet ready yet.
He has chosen. He has chosen not to be yet.
But he has.
So he's like a roving minor league instructor.
He has aspired to be a manager, and that's something in his future. Yeah, I think so. So I don't know if this is a truly a Larkin decision or a management decision. Or maybe Larkin's just saying, I don't want to manage this team. Let him get better first, and then I'll come in. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They do have some.
He's like,
he looked
at the team. He's like, this is a terrible group of people. I don't want to manage this because
I don't want to hinge this up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whole new term we've got going on here. You've been
hinged. Just did it.
You've been hinged.
I don't even know what that actually would mean in this context. Interesting, though, 5 years ago, if Barry Larkin wanted to be the manager of a Major League Baseball team, he would be currently managing a minor league baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
But that's completely changed now, right?
Right, like, it doesn't matter. You could be a broadcaster.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
And by the way, shout out to terrible managers this week killing my fantasy baseball teams. Hey, when your pitcher usually throws 91 and he's throwing 85, take him out. Take him out of the game. Don't let him give up four runs when you're Adam Wainwright. I'm just saying, the Cardinals, I don't know what the hell the manager was thinking. This had me irate all Saturday, and then basically up until now even, I'm still angry about this. I picked up Adam Wainwright. I'm like, yeah, I'll stick him in there. He's going to get an easy win, a little cheapy. And then I don't know what the heck this manager – this is not Mike Matheny, by the way. And if Mike Matheny had done this, by the way, people would have lambasted him. Mm-hmm.
Shilt
left
happens.
Him into the to pitch the seventh. Yeah, Shilt, right?
Shilt happens.
Well, appropriately titled, Wainwright dominant for six innings. Take him out. But it was like potentially his last home game and maybe his last game with the Cardinals. And for some reason, he was like, yeah, let's leave him out there. So instead of giving Adam Wainwright a win to end his career with the Cardinals, it gave him a loss. Because he just couldn't take him out of the game. Actually, they didn't wind up losing. But still,
no W.
Terrible management. The guy who's managing Martinez for the is Dave Martinez managing the Nationals? I can't stand what this guy's doing. Get him out of there. I don't understand. Look, and I know Alex Cora is like great. Alex Cora, as much as I enjoy the Red Sox, this is his first year managing, and so like, all right, now everyone's going to be doing this. But like, these guys need to have experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look at that, what Cora and Boone have done is they've stayed out of the way. They're not the story. They've created a culture. They've let the players kind of flourish. But you're not hearing any headlines, specifically to what they are doing or not doing. They're just kind of. And I'm sure they're getting a lot of help from their bench coaches, too. So
right.
That's a big part of it. But, yeah, there's going to be, as usual, some heads rolling in the offseason, and rightfully so. Yeah. But Don Mattingly will be back, so that's all that matters for Marlins
fans. Don Mattingly will stay employed. it's just mind-boggling to me that, like, there's 25 good managers in the world? So we always have to have five terrible managers in base? I don't even understand that logic.
Well, before long, we're going to get sabermetricians managing. That wouldn't be too far removed from the reality. You're going to have nerds in dugouts.
See, that's where you and I disagree. As much as I love all the nerd stuff and all the math, here's the thing. The manager still has to deal with people, and nerds hate people.
Get in front of a computer, keep them in a locked room, let them crunch
numbers. Exactly. That cool, that nice buzz of the server,
right.
The computer server just humming along. That's who they want to talk to.
Right. That's true.
That and the AI, the artificial intelligence sex robot they've created. Right. That's all that the nerds care about.
Right. They as long as they have their needs met and they don't have to interface with people.
Steve, we got another delivery down in the loading dock for you. Yeah, looks like another sex robot. Yeah, come on down, Steve. All right. Steve being the nerd in that case,
yes.
By the way, in that scenario that I, the visual tapestry I created for everyone.
Right. We're not saying all Steves in the world are sex robot purchasers. So Steve,
that's true.
You're off the hook.
That's true. Yeah.
So
but not you, Steve.
not
you're guilty
Steve.
As hell.
So the Mets have a huge weekend coming up. They've sold out the game. I think probably their only sellout of the year, probably going back to maybe opening day, for David Wright's final start as a Met.
Right.
And his first start David in a Wright. Couple years.
Correct. Yes.
More than 2 years since he's
And then played. Are they getting around some sort of insurance loophole on this? Like, I feel like don't insurance policies lose their value if the player actually does play?
I don't know what the terms are of that, but I do know that the Mets, because they're on the hook for two more years of his contract, are going to have him on the 60-day DL for the next 2 years, and he is not going to retire so that they can recoup their losses.
Oh, my God. So he won't actually be able to retire?
Nope. For two more years.
He's going to get, what's he going to get, $20 million a year or something
like
that?
They'll be on the hook for like 15? Six. I think it's all in. It's like 20-something. But the Mets are only going to be on the hook for like $6 million over the next 2 years because of the insurance policy. So he has to be on the DL. He'll be on the 60-day DL for the next two seasons. Which is, the insurance companies have to be scratching their heads going like, how did we let that one slip through?
Yeah. Also, the Mets with the contract extension, that's one of those ones where it's like, yeah, you put that 7-year thing on there and it seems like a good idea at the time.
Right.
We're going to have him forever. We're going to have this great third baseman who.
And then the very next season, he started breaking down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad because he was a great player. Let's go on to the Angels and Mike Socia saying, after saying he wanted to stop managing earlier this season, now he's saying he wants to keep managing.
Right. Maybe with the Angels, maybe with someone else.
Yeah, and Artie Moreno loves him, apparently, because they've been attached at the hip since he bought the team.
So
I don't know what politics are going on there.
Yeah, it feels weird, right? Yeah, like, he's the one that said it. He's the one that said he didn't want to manage.
It's almost like, you know, someone's having a lover's spat, and they're telling their friends vocally in front of other people, well, this is what's really happening, or, you know, if only she was or only he was, then maybe I might reconsider. So I don't, there's something else going on there. And if he goes to another team, we may hear about it.
Oh, wait, is his contract is up,
yes,
right?
His 10-year contract.
Oh, so this is just like dumb negotiation stuff.
Yeah, 10-year, $50 million contract. It's up.
I can't believe we fell for that. Jesus.
So is he going to get an extension? Is he going, a new contract? Is it going to be another $5 million per year? Does he believe it should be higher than that? There's going to be plenty of teams knocking on his door if he does leave the Angels, that's for sure.
I've always been disappointed that he wasn't a Dodger manager at any time.
Mm-hmm. He's a good manager, really good.
He's a good manager, but I feel like, you know, he had his shot with Mike Trout, and now someone else needs to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone else, like, and I know the injuries aren't his fault for the most part. Like,
and the signings.
And the signings are not his fault. But I think they just need to get someone else. You got a change of scenery, like the other way. Like, you need to change the scenery that you have in the. I don't know. They got to get a new manager in there.
Just think of the big signings though that they had: C.J. Wilson, Albert Pujols, Hamilton, and nothing. You know, they had big dollars spent on those three players, and nothing. And the Jared Weaver. You know, being a superstar 1 year to a complete abysmal pitcher the next, that threw top speed 83, 84 tops maybe?
Oh, man, that last season of his where he was topping out at 82, 83, that was hard.
Yeah, that's hard to watch.
It was hard to watch, not hard to throw.
Right. No, we could.
Not hard to hit.
I could throw harder than that, probably even now after surgery.
Really?
I used to top out in high school in the high 80s.
Yeah, but I'm talking about now, John.
Oh, no. I get that arm warmed
up.
Look,
we're not
bit.
Talking about things that happened to people in high school.
Put me on a throwing program for a couple months. I think I could top 82 miles an hour.
Okay. So when you say even now, you have
as
a different definition
age,
of
not
now.
Not this moment. I'm going to step outside.
And to quote Bill Clinton, or to paraphrase Bill Clinton, it depends on what the definition of now is.
I agree with that. Yeah, I would. I meant now as at my age, as opposed to at this moment. I'm gonna go outside because if I tried to throw right now, I would injure myself because I would think that I could throw 82 miles an hour, and I would probably be in the hospital having major reconstruction.
Well, this has been the source of most of my shoulder trouble in my adult life is I'll go out and play football with some friends, and I can air it out. Mm-hmm. I'm a fantastic quarterback, but I'll air it out a lot more than I should without any real prep or right. warm-up or anything.
And you feel it for
and
months.
Then, yeah, for months, my shoulder's like, ugh. Yeah.
That's
it doesn't matter how much balm I rub on my shoulder either.
Right. No, it doesn't do anything. It's just
I just wanted people to hear me say balm.
It's a great word.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
It's like moist. Okay, so Bryce Harper.
Brian's brother.
I find it interesting here that you have finally reaches 100 right. RBIs because he's been a good player up until he reaches that number. But yeah, it's kind of surprising in his MVP season a few years back that he only had, I think, 99 RBIs.
Right.
He didn't surpass the, but his
and
numbers.
And I'm not a big like RBI guy.
No,
right?
I know. And
you
that's
know
why
John,
I found that
not a big,
I was expecting to see quotes around that because of, that statistic is not one of your favorite statistics.
Well, to me, it was more, I wanted to use that because it shows two things. One, like missed games. Right. Mm-hmm. A player as good as he is missed games. And then, who's on base ahead of him and who the Nationals have been putting on base ahead of him mm-hmm. for him to knock in. I think it's just been a combination of, injuries and bad team management that's kept him under 100. Not that I think, oh, good, he had 100. Now he's finally a great player. But to me, it was more just like, oh, wow. Yeah, that he has been sort of. He hasn't really been the great player that even that one year, the year he won the MVP, you can still do better numbers than those.
Mm-hmm. But
like,
that
I don't
season
him
was more
World
about
Series.
His on-base percentage.
Right,
walks
exactly.
Were high. He was very productive in key situations. So definitely that was like at that time, compared to other players, he was far beyond where anybody else was that season. And I still think he is a great player. I know you're waiting to see where he nets out. And I don't know if this was the contract year. He's had a much better second half. He's actually had an amazing last 2 months. He's really kicked it up. He's brought his average up from, 220-ish to 250, right around 250. But there was an article in the Washington Post yesterday where he kind of put some emotions on the table and said that he likes it in D.C.,
yeah,
which was a surprise to hear that he would be vulnerable and basically he admitted that he was a homebody and he likes to hang out at home with his wife, which I can understand why.
Well, yes. It's no great sacrifice
right,
there, John.
Right, right. He's doing
the time.
Anyone who
doesn't know what we're talking about, do a Google search.
But, he said he's only known D.C., so that's kind of like what, he likes it there. So I don't know if that's a bargaining chip, and maybe that's why Rizzo didn't trade him at the All-Star break is because there's something in the works, and they've shown that they've been willing to pay some money.
How can they afford to pay Strasburg, Scherzer, and him when they don't need him?
That's the bigger thing right now is that I think maybe some of his comments were from the point of view is that they really don't need me with the young outfield that we have, Eaton in center, flanked by the two studs.
Yeah.
So do they really need him?
Right. The only question with Eaton, of course, is he a fourth outfielder due to his injuries? If he was healthy all year, he's, of course, a mm-hmm. starting mm-hmm. player. But with his injury history, is he a fourth outfielder?
Right.
Or do you just get a good fourth outfielder to back him up, for $2-3 million? Because, the backup outfielder market is always, last 2-3 years, is
sure.
always good players available. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know that's a good baseball move for the Nationals. And shouldn't all the decisions be really based on baseball? Like,
when you think about it, he's 25. If they sign him to a 7-year deal, which seems to be the norm, his age 32 season, they would get the most value by signing any team that gets him.
I mean, I think he's getting at least an 8-year deal, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a 10. If Robinson Cano can get the deal that he got,
yeah,
I think
much older too. Yeah,
yeah, and I think Harper's going to get that deal. But the question becomes, in terms of baseball, is it the right move for the team? And I just don't see it as a good move for the team.
Yeah, I think it would be an emotional decision.
Yeah.
it would be, I don't think there's, he could get more money elsewhere. That's for sure.
And he's getting $30 million at least, right?
Yeah.
Like that, we all agree.
He's not getting $45.50 anymore.
He's not getting $45.50, but he's getting $30 million.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Do the Nationals have the kind of money that they can just tack on another $15 million, and then you got it's got to come out of somewhere, right?
Well, the Lerner family seems to be that they roll the dice. They're just kind of like, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it. We'll give it a shot.
Interesting
we'll
see. To see.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting. He's obviously, he and Machado will be the two. And I was watching the Phillies-Rockies game last night, and the Phillies announcers were saying that, or no, the Rockies announcers were saying that the Phillies have enough money within their organization that they could sign both Machado and Harper. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Here's a big surprise headline. You know, we've been waiting for this one for the last 2 weeks. Is Shohei Ohtani has opted for Tommy John surgery. I think he's having it today or tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yeah, I believe.
He's not going to wait till the end of the season?
Oh, no. I think it's happening this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's too bad. But maybe he realizes he can't get Rookie of the Year.
I think he is going to be the Rookie of the Year.
You think so?
Yeah. I think he's the top choice, I believe.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Why? I'm double-checking my numbers right now, John, to be honest with you. I don't... Wow. Joey Wendell. Okay. Impressive. Well, here's the thing. He should be Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, there's... I think it's not... It's not really too many.
Yeah. I mean, there's Andujar, right? Andujar's, they have the same wins right. above replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But Ohtani has it in 34 less games. Andujar's defense is terrible, by the way, which is probably why the Yankees weren't super excited about having him be their third baseman to start the year.
I just think the reason why he's kind of locked that up is because he's been the dual threat that nobody thought he was going to be after spring training. He has proven to be a better hitter than a pitcher, at least at this point. And maybe it's because there are some arm issues, don't know, but he'll be back next season as a hitter and pitching again in 2020.
Right.
So
I'm looking for his numbers as a pitcher. They're not that...
3.31 ERA.
Yeah.
And he's only had 10 starts, so it's not like...
Yeah. Not a lot of starts.
No.
But I think, you know, Rookie of the Year, I remember Keith Law wrote an article about this, that to some degree, it shouldn't just be the numbers. It should also be, like, the potential stardom of the player. And I think if we're talking about Andujar, Joey Wendell, and Ohtani, like, the star is Ohtani, so you give it to him.
Right. I agree with that.
Anyway, yeah, good. What else we got?
Oh, I just wanted a little shout-out, too, is that yesterday was the anniversary of 1974 of the first Tommy John surgery on said namesake. So, yeah, 44 years and counting. Just a little tidbit.
Oh, and did he ever get more than one Tommy John surgery?
I don't think so. I think just one.
And when he got the surgery, was it one of those things where it was like, yeah, you know, I had a feeling this was coming, what with my name being Tommy John and all.
Well, someone made the comment of if he should have trademarked that, because he'd be a very wealthy man. More wealthy as a trademark name than as a pitcher. But he did win more games at post-surgery than he did before the surgery, so something to be said. But
how about during the surgery? How many games were won?
None. But the time frame for coming back then was 18 months. Now it's 9 to 10 months is the earliest people are coming back from it. But the 10 pitchers who had the surgery after him did not come back.
Oh, wow.
And then Tom Candiotti went to the knuckleball after his surgery and had a good career after that. So those were the two first.
The Candyman.
The Candyman, yeah.
So, Dodgers growing up.
A little history there. 44 years. Wow, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
So last, I know this is one of your favorite stories of the year, the last headline.
Yeah. You know it.
The Tigers ballpark worker, I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, so a Tigers ballpark worker was caught on video spitting into the pizza that he was serving to customers. Loyal customers paying their hard-earned Detroit dollars, which, by the way, if I don't know if you know, Detroit dollars, very much more valuable than like a Los Angeles dollar. Okay, they don't have a lot of them there. Anyways, this guy's spitting in food, and he's been arrested. Of course, he was fired, right? And now they have to test him for infectious diseases because he's, spitting in people's food. Right. So I assume there's a class action lawsuit coming soon from whomever got pizza that day.
Right.
So gross.
Just in case.
And it's like that thing that everyone fears about the food service industry is that they're going to be spitting, or worse, into your food. And there it was on video.
Yeah. I heard his next movie is going to run for political office.
Well, I don't think it's going to work for him because there is actual evidence.
Right. Yes. Video evidence of hawking
up a loogie. Video evidence.
Yeah.
Like, you can get away with a few things in your past, but I think if there's video evidence of you hawking up loogies into pizzas.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe stay out of the food service industry, whatever you do.
Is that an anchovy?
It's a secret sauce.
Secret sauce. Yeah, my question with that is, was he obviously premeditated, but was it in response to some customer that was giving him a hard time? Not that it justifies it, but if he's just a disgruntled employee spitting in pizzas, how often has he done it?
Right. So obviously that just makes it all the more totally gross.
Right.
But it was unclear whether it was the first or only time.
Okay. We'll find out as the story unfolds.
Yes.
Starting nine.
Yeah.
We have For Autumn, which we just moved into the autumnal equinox last weekend.
Yes.
For Autumn, nine players with autumn-related names.
When I was a teenager, and I should say, when I say teenager, I mean like an adult teenager, like 18, 19. My roommate and I used to throw an autumnal equinox party.
Mm.
We thought it was hilarious, John.
And why?
Because no one was doing it.
So you were setting a new trend?
Yeah.
It's like Cinco de Mayo?
It was, we hoped it would achieve that, but apparently people did not like saying autumnal equinox.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. And even if you've got your mouth full of the hot sauce and lemon juice, still tough.
Right.
Autumnal equinox. Anyway, with all this mayhem and madness going on in the world and everyone's arguing about who can remember what and who did what and when and whatever, it's time to think about something positive, John. It's time to think about autumn. Autumn is here. The leaves are changing colors. The rain is here. The urine is swept away. The summer urine is swept away from the New York City streets. So here are nine players with autumn-sounding names. You ready?
Let's do it.
Ian Pumpkinsler.
That sounds dirty.
It's whatever you want it to be, John. It's autumn. Here's an easy one. Well, maybe it isn't, actually. Stephen Gonzalez Leaves.
That's good. Gonzalez Leaves.
Yes. So like instead of Gonzalez, it's Gonzalez Leaves. Yeah. Stephen Gonzalez. Apple Cider Ick Holland.
That must have been a tough one to work with.
Yeah.
But you found a good
one.
Trying
to do something with apple and anyway. I just went up with the cider. Okay. Now, we've been giving this guy a lot of play. He's not quite in the Shin Soo Chu realm, but Michael Thanksgivens.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we've been riding the Michael Givens train quite a bit. And I don't mean running a train. I mean riding a train, which are two completely different things.
For a future episode.
Yes. Next is, and I include this gentleman who I guarantee you is a major league player, Matthew October Festa.
October Festa?
Matthew Festa is a real person.
Perfect.
He's a major league player, not a minor leaguer, a major league player. He's got like six innings pitched, but still, October Festa.
Very good. It's perfect.
Cody Foot Ballinger.
Mm-hmm. Football season?
Yeah, Cody Ballinger. Ballinger, I guess more like Ballinger, right? Ballinger? No, Ballinger. So, football? Yeah, we're going to watch some football. I went to watch the Patriots football game, right? That makes sense. Next up, moving along here. My coffee's wearing off. Matt Sweeters.
Matt Sweeters.
Sweaters.
Oh, sweaters.
Weeders. Sweaters.
Sweaters.
Sweeters. Sweaters. Got no, it didn't work, did it? Hallow Wayan Chen. That works like a goddamn.
Charm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a. All right, here we go. You Scarves ish.
That's my favorite one in a while.
And the worst thing about Autumn, or the best, depending on your personal viewpoint, Election Soo Choo.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's almost here. Okay, so that wraps up starting nine. We have Around the Horn this week. I think we mentioned last week we're going to do a postseason awards. Going to kind of whip through those. And
I remembered.
You did, and it's here. And here we go. I think
all right, so who we got?
I think we're pretty much locked on all but maybe one of these awards.
Okay.
It seems. So let's just start off with the AL MVP. I think that
Mookie Betts.
Yeah, Mookie Betts, hands down, really.
By a lot.
By a long shot. There really is no.
Like, he's got more war than Mike Trout, and he's got all the numbers.
Yeah.
And Mike Trout's having an insane year, of course.
One of his best seasons ever, and he may finish like third.
Yeah.
Which is.
But the team, you know, when it starts getting this close, the team context does start to matter. The situation does start to matter.
Angels were in the playoffs, Trout would probably win.
I mean, Mookie Betts still has a higher war.
But the numbers. And I think you can't give it to Mike Trout every year, although you probably should, because he is the best player season in and season out. But statistically, this season is one of his best seasons all around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, he's got 24 out of 26 stolen bases.
Yeah. But Mookie Betts has 29 stolen
bases. No, I know. No argument there. I think this is an anomaly, though. Not a huge anomaly, but...
Oh, no, it's a spike for Mookie Betts. This is just more of the same from Mike Trout.
Right. So, and that's the unfortunate thing, is because, like, we expect that of Mike Trout. We don't expect this of Mookie Betts, and when he rises above the mean, we notice it. But well-deserved.
And then the other sort of runner-ups-ish guys are Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor... And Alex Bregman is
he's in the conversation too.
He's in the conversation a little bit too. So,
and let's see what else we've got. National League MVP, I think, has emerged just within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, who do you got? I'm curious.
Kristen Yelich.
You think Yelich, huh?
Yeah, I think it's a slam dunk right now based on what he's done in the last three games, too. He's hit three home runs, driven in 11 runs. He's been on. Carrying the team forward. I think he's emerged. Statistically, he's leading in almost every category, in the top five, I should say. So he actually has a chance, an outside chance at the Triple Crown. He's only four home runs away, and I think now only six RBIs away, and he's leading.
So in other words, he has no chance. Okay, good.
He's hit three home runs and 11 RBIs in the last 3 days.
Here's what I want to throw up at you, John. Go ahead. Here's what I'm going to throw up on you and the listeners. What about Jacob DeGrom?
I don't think so.
I mean, wins above replacement, a win and a half above Yelich. A win and a half.
I just don't think. I think that he definitely is a slam dunk for the Cy Young.
Right. Cy Young, yeah, sure. But
I think it's a worthy
win and a half.
I think it's a worthy conversation.
Well, I hope he comes in at least second or third. I know he won't, but it should be second.
I think the mentality is going to be, you know, his numbers, his traditional numbers, which really don't matter, don't look so good, so the optics aren't so great on that, but he deserves the Cy Young, you know, most definitely. But I don't think the optics look good if he were to get the MVP as well.
Yeah.
But I do believe that he is a top five candidate for that for sure.
Top five.
He will finish in the top five.
Oh,
no,
okay.
for MVP.
I mean, he's the best player in the National League right now.
If you use WAR.
No, he's the best player in the National League relative to other players.
If you use WAR.
Right.
Right.
Well, what statistics are we using? Are we match? What about Christian Yelich? He plays it at the his home park is the Brewers ballpark. That's for lefty home run hitters. Remember when they traded for him and they were like, oh, wow, this is going to spike his numbers because he's going to a lefty hitting home run park. Does that count, John? Tell me that.
I don't think so.
It doesn't?
Not for my conversation.
But so if a Coors player hit a certain number of home runs and RBIs, that would count.
Okay, but I have a conversation about that then that we can talk about.
Okay, have a conversation.
The National League Cy Young. Given using your Coors analysis, how do you rate Kyle Friedland as a...
No, don't, John. This is just embarrassing now.
No, but how do you rate him given his numbers this year?
No, his numbers have been great.
He's top five in the Cy Young.
National League, top six or seven?
I think
7.7 strikeouts per nine, John. You know what his FIP is? Fielding independent?
I have no idea.
Four is 3.7.
I don't even know what that means.
So basically, like, fielding independent means you're taking away, like, look, and I'm not saying FIP is the way to go, but you're sort of taking the context out of it's like how the ball was hit, not how it was fielded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So you're saying he's got great defense?
That's his expected FIP based on what he is exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
Like three walks per nine innings pitched. Like left on base percentage of 83%. Like that's
so. If there was a bunch of
had a good closer.
If there's a bunch of Brian Kennys voting, then they would take that. But there's still a lot of old timers. They're gonna look at that and say he pitches for the Rockies and he put up a 2.84 ERA.
That's yeah, I mean. Top could he get into the top five by that measure? Sure.
Yeah, I think sure. He's top five.
I don't think he is top five, but I think he could be in the top five. Sort of the opposite of the DeGrom.
We'll see.
Thing.
We'll see. We'll know in a couple weeks. Well, not really.
Hey, you know who's been not actually that great?
Who
is Clayton Kershaw?
No, he's been mediocre since he got hurt earlier this year. He's been on the DL twice, and he hasn't.
But not mediocre. Let's not be crazy. All right, come on.
Mediocre for him, for sure.
Mediocre for him.
Yeah.
It's been disappointing for sure.
Yeah.
Like, what's his WAR? 3.3 for the year.
Yeah, that's
156 innings. Oof. Only 8.69 strikeouts per nine.
Yeah, he's usually up in the 11, 12, 13 range.
Yeah.
But I think, how much of a chance do you give Scherzer? I know DeGrom's numbers are off the charts.
It's a zero chance. 1% chance? I don't know if I can't say zero. One?
I'm looking at
0.5.
The odds makers.
DeGrom's numbers are insane.
No, I know. I understand. But odds makers
Scherzer's have, numbers are great too, though. Any other year and Scherzer. But
odds makers have DeGrom as 2-1 and Scherzer as 3-1.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically odds-wise, that's probably the... I'm being exaggerated.
I think DeGrom's chances are should be even better than that, so...
Yeah. Like, to me, if you're betting... If you want to bet on baseball, which you shouldn't, and you want to take your $20 and turn it into $30, like, you bet on DeGrom, because that's going to happen. He is going to win the award.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So, AL Cy Young.
AL Cy Young is... He's a lot closer. And we talked about this, I think.
It's a three-way. Three-way ways? It's a three-way ways.
It's a three-way ways. I still think Sale has a chance. If he goes out today and just like, let's say he throws like 7 or 8 shutout innings against the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gives him, it puts him back into the conversation. But he's missed so many innings. Like, Verlander's got 55 more innings than him.
Yeah, he's a workhorse.
Yeah. So maybe Verlander, and obviously his numbers are good as well, but they're just not as good as Sales. I mean, the real race was, you know, like Bauer and Sale, and then those two just got injured or, you know, dealing with whatever they're dealing with. I think Snell could sort of sneak in there, but if you look at his all the peripheral numbers and then – But that 21 wins is going to grab a couple votes.
If he has one more start left, and if he, as he has done in his last dozen starts, he's been dominant. So I think it's if he does
why
peripheral
he numbers so bad.
Hmm?
Is it the you know what it is? It's the 3 walks per inning,
which is really low for him historically.
He's been it looks like he's been lucky on home runs too, and they're factoring that in. And his batting average on balls in play is low, which sometimes means good pitching and usually just means luck, right? Like his is, give you an idea, the batting average on balls in play for Justin Verlander, 272.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sale, 280. Garrett Cole, 287. Trevor Bauer, 301. Blake Snell, 238.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
So that's the defense doing work there. Plus, you know, pitching to certain contact. And
but his,
I wouldn't mind if Snell won. I think that'd be fun. He's just such an awesome pitcher. He's a revelation.
Yeah, so we've got Kluber, who's been kind of forgotten in the conversation, and he reached the 20-win plateau. So I don't remember the last time we had two 20-game winners.
But his strikeouts are down
as
well, you know, and his peripheral numbers are poor. Also, shout out to Aaron Nola.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not a finalist or anything, but he's become an ace.
I think he's top three or four.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking that he would be when I saw. I thought he was going to be like a pitch to contact kind of guy, you know. And
no, he's had a good season.
But yeah, he's got 9.5 strikeouts per nine. Anyway, impressive stuff.
Let's go on to rookies of the year. I think those are pretty much decided too. American League.
Rookie. Well, yeah, we talked about this before. It's going to be Shohei. It's probably be Shohei Ohtani, right?
Yeah, Shohei. Yeah, we did talk about that. Did we already talk about the American League Rookie of the Year? National League Rookie.
We have not talked about the National League Rookie of the Year, though we did talk about it last week a little bit, saying it was probably Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
Though I will say the Dodgers pitcher, Walker Buehler,
mm-hmm.
pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's been good.
I mean, he's been their best pitcher.
How many starts
better
has he
than Clayton Kershaw? He does. I don't think he has enough to pull it off. And of course, there's like, you know, Harrison Bader's been very good, and
Soto.
Juan Soto has been, you know, much better than anyone ever thought.
As a 19-year-old.
As a 19-year-old. Walker Buehler with 22 games started, 130 innings pitched. Just not quite Acuna, you know, but he should be in the top three, I think.
Yeah, Acuna and Soto are going to be battling out for MVPs for years to come.
Yeah.
They're
great players.
Dominant. Yeah. So I think we're pretty much in agreement across the board there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So that wraps up around the horn. Now we move into extra innings, a look on what's going on outside the world of baseball. And I see there's a note here that we got nothing.
John, we don't want to talk about anything outside the world of baseball. There's already the stuff that's going on outside the world of baseball is stuff we really don't want to talk about.
Right. That's a whole nother podcast.
Right now. It's someone else's podcast, you know, whether you're on the left or you're on the right or you're in the middle, it's someone else's podcast. And we always touch on politics a little bit and what's going on in the world a little bit as we sort of make our way through these conversations. But it is so political right now.
Yeah, very emotional, very toxic, very...
Yes. A lot of people not thinking straight on all sides.
Doesn't seem very patriotic to me.
It doesn't seem very constitutional to me, John.
So maybe we should just skip extra innings then.
Yeah.
Okay. What's coming up next?
Check out all the latest baseball songs, including Nerdy by Nature's You Down with OBP? Yeah, you know me.